serve. You know, some of us can come into serve assembly with this mentality that other people have gotten this or other people are taking care of it. You know, I'm on the email as it relates to helping out with the move with Pastor Jim. There's a whole lot of people there, you know. So in my mind, I'm thinking, well, you know, it's okay if I'm not there because I'm with Preston or I'm tending to stuff that I've got going on. And I share all this to say that don't make those assumptions. Check in. And it's not just a Pastor Jim and a Sister Lou. There are other people in our body who you can check on. Just because they're not here doesn't mean they're forgotten. You know, it's if someone brings or if God brings someone into your heart, reach out to that person. See if there's areas that they have need or that you can reach out to. Sister Lou, I know that they've been working on this move for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever the case may be. She may not be sending out those cards regularly to people. Y'all know those cards. They come at the right time, the right day. Someone can pick that up. Say, Lord, is there a way that I can reach out to those in my body? I know that Sister Lou is preoccupied. I know that there's things going on. Can I take up the mantle and help her out? Is there ways that I can reach out and minister to others? It's not, again, this is not just about Pastor Lim. It's Pastor Jim and Sister Lou. It's about showing interest in the lives of others. I recently went to, you know, I'll tell y'all flat out, I got a busy life. I got too much going on. I don't have time to do all these other things. But yet, I've got to make time. You know, I had a busy night one day. It was a Thursday evening, but I put in my schedule all the games that Gideon was playing. That doesn't fit in my schedule. But to be out there and support a brother or sister in Christ makes a difference. And so I said, you know what? Hey, Jennifer, you got this tonight. I'm going to go out and go watch Gideon play, watch him suit up. There are people who could use your visit, use your reaching out to them. I remember when I was a kid, mom and dad were always going to be there. And it's something that you can tend to take for granted. When somebody else, though, outside of mom and dad, show up, that's when it starts to make a difference for some people that they have an extended family beyond just mom and dad or sister. Sister came, she was there. So I just want to encourage you, don't just look at the four walls of your family. Realize that there's other people in this body. If God lays it on your heart, make sure you reach out to them. Make sure you give them a call. Make sure you pick up where maybe they are lacking or busy or whatever the case may be. Let's be a body that looks outward instead of always just looking for and taking care of our own family. That's what God has called us to. You know, I think about, you know, my brother John. There's things that he used to do. He used to come and do our yard. He used to do his yard. He used to do pastor's yard. Brother Will now does two houses now. Pastor Jim's two houses. Well, has anybody reached out to the Hendricks? Hey, are there things that we can do to help out? Are there things that we can do to just bless you, to honor you? The Robinsons, they got, you know, it's a family of four. And we think, well, it's a family of four. There's two parents. They got it all together. Maybe it'd help if you called and said, hey, is there things that we can do to just bless your family? I know you work full time. I know you get kids ready. I know you're over the internet team. I know you're doing praise team. Are there things that we can help out and bless you with? That's what this body is for. What Pastor Jim didn't mention yesterday, it wasn't just me helping. There were two people in. I know the ladies, they may think, well, where are the men at? You know, the men need to be out there. The men can be helping. Well, guess who the two people were that were there yesterday? It was Tammy Armbruster and Tara Armbruster. So don't think that just because you're whatever that you can't help. Everyone can help. Everyone can bless somebody in this body. Everyone can reach out to somebody else in this body. I will tell you right now, it is not convenient. It doesn't fit in your schedule. But when is reaching out to others ever? I, to this day, don't know and never asked Pastor Jim on September 13th of 2013 what he was doing when I called him and said, hey, my wife and I, we just went to our 31-week appointment, and they said that they want to deliver Preston today. I never asked him what he was doing. He just dropped everything and said he would be there. Again, I don't share this out of compulsion. I share this so that we are cognizant of what's going on in our body. We need to be there. I'm sure he had an agenda for that day. I'm sure there were things that lined up. But he stopped everything and came there. The day that I made the call. Let's be there for one another. Let's cover one another. Let's not get so focused in what's going on in our own world.
Kumana Kridia, Sukurvia, Sanakadia, Sukurviashi, Ikurvina, Nino Korea, Sata Kodia, Nokorbariasa, Sokorvia, Shata Kedi, Kamana Noriasi, Ibriasi, Commander Kodi, Kombako, Kose, Kuriasa, Sekoma, Mamania, Koreana, Noriase, E. Korea Maria, Sikurvia, Shata Kodiase, Tako, Koko, Kobaba, Korea, Sikurviasha. I say to you, I say to this people, this body, this anointing, I say, be not weary in well-doing. Be not weary in well-doing. Be not weary. Do not be tired. Do not look at the things you see that seem to determine who and where you are. For I have appointed you. I have set the time for you. I knew who would be here. I knew who would not be here. I have called and anointed you. You need to see yourselves in the place that you have been called, set, appointed, and anointed. There is an anointing to be in the place that my son has ordained for you. There is an anointing to grow. There is an anointing to be hooked up. There is an anointing to have an expectation of everything that has been promised. For I tell you now, do not be weary. Do not look at what you see, but know that my hand is upon you, that everything that has been spoken for this house, if you stay in your place, will overtake you and catapult you to places you never expected to go. And I am not speaking just of the financial, but I am speaking of the season for the anointing and the blessing of the Lord to be seen by those who have no expectation of what a child of the Most High God, anointed to speak into their lives, can bring. It is a transformation time, and you are called, anointed, and appointed to bring transformation and the anointing of God into those around you and those who have no idea that they need you. do not be weary. See yourselves as the anointing of God and watch the impossible come forth.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Stand with me for just a minute. Hallelujah. Let's just pray in the Spirit for a few minutes. Just allow the Holy Spirit to minister peace to your heart. De la curramandia raba sataraka sudore bete costo rakitise. Mela cuso de la la barra badibi animo to sudore mate kidish de a. Le barra bato sudore de la casatara basundure bete casha. Kesho remere la masundure patisi de la harabatakata. Sodorre berre bedi asto dorro marramaki le che sere alla casso do de asta rama hanna madon dorre berre bedi assa tarraba da raka toto sire le la cara basta rumur me sire le ele cara matapa sarro corre che le la cassa tapata sire de ela marro mondo mende berre bendi ele chi orro sotorre che sire de ala corre de anamatae sarro barre bedi bisti delle accassorurre che ti di die se non matarremende badi di die le che te sododurre che ti di satura beste arraca sarà hallelujah 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 hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we feel the tug of your presence. We feel the pulling on our spirits of the will, plan, and purpose of our Father. We feel that, Father God. We feel your Spirit working in us and through us. But Father, we thank you. We thank you that you do not condemn us. But Father, you show us a better way. That we hear you. We make our change and we follow after you, Father God. And you lead us always in truth and in triumph. Father God, we make the correction, we make the adjustment, and then we celebrate that your word is truth, your word is liberty, your Spirit is liberty, and we are free from condemnation. We are free from anything that would try to bring us into captivity or that would try to stifle the freedom that we have in you, Father God. And we purpose in our heart that we will not be weary in well-doing, but we will continue to look and to keep our hearts open and the eyes of our spirit open to see where you lead us and where you guide us. And to each point and to every point that you direct us, Father God, that we are submitted to do your will. And I thank you, Father God, that you do not require us to do your will strictly based on our ability. But you have given us your anointing. You have given us your very life. You've given us all that you are and all that you knew that we would need. You have placed in us, and we thank you for that, Father God. And we say, in that ability, in that purpose, for your purpose, we go forward from this point, not looking back, but we accept and submit to your will, your plan, and your purpose you have for our life as a body, for this congregation, for this body, for this church. We humble ourselves before you, Father God, and we thank you that you lift us up and you have changed our hearts. You have changed our way of thinking. You've changed our vision this morning. We thank you for that. Now, Father God, for the words that you have placed in my heart to deliver, I thank you for your anointing. I thank you that you minister to each heart the joy, the peace that your word brings by your Spirit. We give glory and honor to you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Sweet presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I am humbled and honored by the letter that Pastor read, and other parts of the letter. Every once in a while, something, God will just show up and it just knocks you kind of off. You're just like, what? But I'm very appreciative and I'm very humbled. And if Thomas, if you're watching, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. God is good, and many blessings are coming back to you. Okay. Have you ever been driving around and seen either a bumper sticker or a sign? I saw it one time written on an overpass over Interstate 44 in Missouri. Just driving along, look up, and it says, Jesus is the answer. You've all seen that. Yeah. You've all seen, Jesus is the answer. Well, sometimes my mind, it just goes, well, what was the question? What was the question? If Jesus is the answer, well, we all know that our Redeemer is the solution for all of our problems in the world today. How many of you know that Jesus really is the answer? And he is the solution. We sing the song, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean? How is he the answer? What is the question? And if he is the answer, how come the world is in this situation and shape that it is? We know that he has already done all that he's going to do. He has finished his work, but there still seems to be a lot of work to be done. I don't know. Have you noticed that? Have you watched the news lately? We need some answers. We need some Jesus. But how come it's not already done? And you know the answer to all this. You know this. These are just kind of rhetorical questions. How come he hasn't fixed it? If he's the answer, how do we apply him as the answer to our problems? How do we apply Jesus or the Redeemer to our problems so that our circumstances and our situations match up to or equals his answerness, if you will, to the point that he is the answer? How do we get our situations and our circumstances to match his ability as and his position as the answer? These are just some questions I want to talk about for a few minutes. We probably will be beating the Baptist to the restaurants today because I appreciate what Brother Kenneth shared. And I appreciate him following the Lord in that. And if he hadn't have done that, then we'd probably already about through now. But I got a few things I want to talk about and maybe help you this morning. Let's start with John, the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 33. And I don't know that I'm going to tell you anything new today, but it's always good to be refreshed in God by his word and through his Spirit. John 16:33 in the New American Standard says, these things I have spoken to you so that in me, now this is our Redeemer speaking, this is Yeshua, that these things I have spoken to you, and he was talking to his disciples, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. King James says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So, Yeshua says here, these things I have spoken to you, that you in so that in me you may have peace. Well, what did he speak to them that was going to bring them peace? If we go back to the top of the chapter, not necessarily the beginning, but just a few verses down, he's telling them that he's getting ready to go away. He is going to be crucified and he's going to the Father. He's going to leave them. And that kind of puts them in a mood of bummer. You know, it's kind of a downer. Hey, what do you mean you're going away? You've only been here, we've only been with you 3.5 years. We love you. You've got the words of life. What do you mean you're going away? So they were trying to get depressed and sorrowful and all that stuff. But he says, but it's good for you that I go away because I will send the Holy Spirit. Once I go away, then the Holy Spirit will come and will teach and guide and show you all things about Yeshua and the Father and will bring the sustainable joy. See, as long as Jesus was with him, they had peace, they had joy, they were okay. But the thought of him leaving says, now what are we going to do? You know, how are we going to sustain our joy? How are we going to have peace? You've taken care of us for 3.5 years. Now who's going to take care of us? Well, Jesus was telling them, okay, I'm going to send somebody else. They're going to take care of you probably better than I can take care of you because he's everywhere. He can take care of everybody all at once. The Holy Spirit will glorify Yeshua and speak only of him. And everything that the Father has given to Yeshua, which is everything, because Jesus said, all power and all authority in heaven and earth. And he even said in John 16 here, in one of those verses, said that all that the Father has been given to me or is mine. So, and God, we know God, he's got everything. He is everything. Said the Holy Spirit will show and make available to us. So these are some of the things that Yeshua was speaking to the disciples so that through or in him, they and we, because he was speaking to us too, could have peace. Then he explains a bit that while we are in the world, there would be a lot of trouble. Okay? There are a lot of tribulation, tests, trials, and just plain old yuck. I know you've all seen the bumper sticker that explains that bad stuff happens. You see what I did there? I cleaned that up. Let me give you a few short stories here. Michelle and I took a few days off this past week, the last couple of days. We took off to finally get away for our anniversary. Once again, I want to thank everybody for your gifts and cards and all that stuff that you blessed us with earlier. Our anniversary was actually the 5th of October, but there was so much going on then that we finally just was able to get away this Thursday and Friday. But it wasn't anything grand or spectacular. We just went up to Dallas to see Lauren for a little bit. And our plan was to leave here on Thursday around noon so that we could get up there about the time that Lauren was getting off work. Okay? Everything, and I mean everything that I tried to do, that I had in my heart, my purpose, to get the car ready, to get my stuff packed, to get Michelle's stuff all together, and get everything ready to leave by noon, not one thing went right. Okay? All the stuff that I wanted to do, it did not work. Everything's okay, but it just didn't, the plan that I had did not work. We had a situation that needed to be taken care of before we left, and we spent from noon to 4 o'clock taking care of this situation. We needed to fax some papers, some legal papers and stuff. So on our way out of town, we stopped by here to use the fax machine to fax these things. And first time, I got everything in their fax machine, and you know, no, I won't say how fax machines are from the devil. I won't say that. They're good. But anyway, it was only 4 pages. I put them in there. It pulled 2 of them together. So I had to cancel that job, and that takes about 5 minutes for the cancel. Vivian was sitting there. She had come in to answer the phones for us while we were slipping out, and she can verify all this stuff because the fax machine's right in front of where she was sitting. That it took 2 pages together, so I had to, that ain't gonna work, so I hit cancel, and then it gyrated, and it went through all kind of noises and things, lights flashing and all that, and it spit out a report that said that it was canceled by the user or something like that. So, okay, finally it got back to the original screen where I could fax again. So I stuck my paper in. I said, well, I'm gonna do it, just to be sure, I'm gonna do it one at a time this time. So I stuck the cover page in, and I dialed my number, hit send, and it took that one. Just as that one got done, I stuck the next one in. Just as that one got done, I stuck the next one in, and somehow or another, I got it. I was a little too fast, and it got overlapped, and it pulled it as 2 pages as one. You know, I hate that little circle that goes around and 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 around, and it keeps going round and round and round, round and round and round. So finally, I said, well, this ain't working. It's trying to act that one big, or 2 pages as one. So I cancel that. Well, it went through its gyrations to try to print another report. I needed to replace the yellow toner. To print a black and white report. I did not use yellow toner on the first page. Why is it wanting to use yellow toner on the second page? Well, we didn't have a new yellow ink cartridge thing that goes in there. So I just said, so without printing the report, it wouldn't send me back to the original screen so I could try it one more time. So I said, okay. By this time, it's been 20 minutes or so. Michelle's out in the car waiting. The car's running. We've got all of our stuff packed. We're out of town as soon as we get this thing done. Well, I will scan in these documents, put them on a thumb drive, put them in my computer, and email them, because we could either fax or email. So I'll do that. Go over to the printer. It says communication error. Document feed are not available, but glass is available. So I stick my stuff in there, said, well, let me try it. I stick my stuff in there, got my USB in there. I hit go. It scans, but the pages are still sitting right there in the top of the feeder. So I don't know what I did. I probably just got a one big blank page. So I said, okay, well, let me try it one more time. I'll do one at a time. So I lifted the feeder, put the page on the glass. I had to do that 4 times to get each page. So now instead of one set of documents, I've got 4 individual documents that I have to email. So finally, I got all that done. We got in the car, hooked up the computer, and got it done. I was glad that we got it done. And that turned out, that whole situation turned out very, very, very good for us. It was more than what we had expected. So it was very good. So I stopped to get some air in the tires, because I noticed that one of them was looking a little low. So I said, well, we're going on this trip, going to drive up there. I want to go and make sure that so I stopped by a gas station. The air thing there has a credit card reader. Stick my card in there. Please wait. Your card has not been charged. And you know, without charging your card, they don't give you no air. I run my card in there 4 or 5 times and it says your card has not been charged. Obviously the thing is not working. Okay, so go to another station. Okay, pull up to the little air thing there. There's no credit card reader. I had 75 cents in my pocket. It takes $1.25. Well, okay, I'll go into the convenience store there and I'll buy some little something, give me something to drink or something for the road, and I'll get some cash back off my card and I'll come get some change and come back out and put air in. Well, I'll go in there, grab me a tea, set it on the counter. I want cash back. You gotta have at least a $3 minimum purchase. My tea was $1.40. So I had to go back to the case, get another tea and a little package of mints or something that equals $3. Finally, I got some cash and I go out. It all worked. Eventually everything turned out okay, but it was by then almost 5 o'clock before we got out of town that we were supposed to be up there at 4:30. But there's a lesson in all that. If you don't quit, you win. Okay. But I told you those stories, and I know that every one of you can. Now, that was all true. All that was, that happened. But we all go through situations like that. Have y'all ever had stuff like that? I just don't ever remember having that many in one day. But, you know, I'm always trying to listen, like, God, are you trying to tell me something, or is this the devil trying to make me mad? And I figured out that it was the devil making us mad because everything else was good. And I didn't have that check in my spirit. But I told you these stories because we all go through stuff like that all the time. We make a plan, but sometimes it seems like nothing goes the easy way. And, you know, I always plan for the easy way. I try not to make things complicated. But I would say 75% of the time, the easy way don't work. But there's always something, and I know that's because we have an enemy. So whether things like that have been happening since the fall or just because Yeshua said they would, we all have tribulations in this world. But he also said we can be of good cheer because he has already overcome every one of those little or maybe not so little, you know, faxing a couple of pieces of paper, that's not so much a big thing. Getting air in your tires, that's not so much a big thing. But, you know, when the doctor comes in with a report that, that's a big thing. Or your lawyer calls and says, this, that could be a big thing. So whether they're little things or not so little things that try to destroy us or just steal our peace and joy, you know, the devil hates us. And he don't want us to have joy. He don't want us to be in peace. He wants to irritate us all the time. And if we allow it, well, there's plenty of it there to mess with you. But Jesus, our Yeshua, our Redeemer, has already overcome obstinate fax machines. And he has already overcome printers. And he has already overcome air machines that don't have credit card, won't take credit cards, and convenience stores that have minimum purchases. He has already overcome that bad accident in Waco that had we not been delayed, maybe we would have been in there. They were just finishing up cleaning, and that was shock of all shocks. We made it all the way to Waco without even slowing down. We went right through Temple. We went right through Salado. And you know what? I've determined that no one will ever drive on that road when it's finished. Because by the time it's finished, we'll all be flying in cars. Our cars will be flying. We won't need that highway by the time they get it finished. But there was an accident in Waco, and just as we got into Waco, they were pulling away. They were clearing. There was a little bit of traffic, residual traffic, but the fire truck had already left. The wrecker had the car on the top of it. You know, who knows? We may have either been stuck there or could have been in that accident, but we had been delayed. So who knows? Going through it was pretty frustrating, but we went through it and everything turned out all right. But if Yeshua had already overcome everything in the world, why do we still have to contend with these things? Now again, I'm not questioning God. I know the answer, because I wrote this. Actually, God wrote it. And you know the answer too. So these are, again, our rhetorical questions. Why aren't these little things just taken out of our way before we even get to them? If he has already overcome them, if Jesus is the answer, why isn't the world better than it is? And the answer is because we have been deputized to enforce the victory that he has won. Yeah. We have to enforce that victory. We have been assigned to take care of those things in our sphere of influence. It's our responsibility. It's like being born again. It's available to all, but it only happens to those who believe, receive, and act on it. Pastor and all the ministers have said so many times, the promises of God are not automatic. Or else everyone would be saved, everyone would be rich and wealthy, everyone would be strong and whole and well, and nobody would ever die. God is not partial. He made it available to all, but only those who accept it and will benefit from it. We can overcome the world through our union with Christ. That is how we overcome, or in Him. For those who are not in Him, they have to try to overcome all these fax machines and things like that on their own power, on their own will. You know, do the best you can to try to get by. But we have the anointing of God. When we are in union and connected and linked to our Redeemer, the world's answer does them no good because they don't believe. Are you trying to overcome your world in your own strength? Now that's also a rhetorical question, but I want you to think about that one. Are you trying to overcome your world in your own strength? The answer to the world and overcoming it, if you will, is actually not Yeshua by himself. And this is what I'm talking about. The other ingredient is us. We are in union with Christ. That is how the world gets taken care of, and our world gets taken care of. We here at House of the Lord have learned a lot about being in Him. There's books that have been written. There's notes. Pastor Jim has handed out notes after notes after notes about being in Him, and we've heard sermons and sermons, and all of it is good. But being people like we are, we still need to hear it again. Some of us are still discovering who we are and how to get and be in Him. We're all at different stages. Some of us are still discovering. Our union with Christ is eternal, timeless, and forever. Okay? It's not, okay, this day I'm one with Christ, I'm in Him, everything is good, I have authority, I have power. Tomorrow, Jesus said that there was enough evil to take care of tomorrow, so I don't need to worry about that. But I'm going to tell you, the same anointing that gets you through today is still going to be there tomorrow, because it's eternal, it's timeless, and it's forever. But all too often, we seem to forget that we are in Him, and we get our old brain on, or we get our brain to working. How are we going to get out of this one? How am I going to fix this jam? What do I do to have to fix this? All the while, the Holy Spirit is inside us trying to show us Jesus and all the things that the Father has given to him to help us. He's trying, hey, if you would stop long enough, you could, let me show you what Jesus has already done. Let me show you what the Redeemer has already done. Let me show you what the Father put in place right here. Look at this ladder going right up out of this hole that you're in. All you got to do is just climb that. Look at this. Look unto the Father. That's the Holy Spirit's job. He shows us what the Father is. He shows us Yeshua. He shows us the overcoming. He shows us the power, the authority. All we've got to do is take the time to look where he's pointing, to follow where he's leading, to go where he's directing. The big answer is Yeshua and our union with him. That union is based on two ingredients, if you will, and that is the Spirit of truth, or the Holy Spirit, and our faith in the Word of God. The Word and the Spirit together. You can't get to God the Father without the Holy Spirit drawing, and you can't please the Father without faith. Faith only comes from the revelation and illumination of the Word by the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is such a vital part of our relationship and existence in the family of God. I want to real quick take a look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9 through 14. Ephesians chapter 1, 9 through 14. It's Paul talking, and he says, He made known to us the mystery of his will. Pay attention to his will. According to his kind intentions, or the King James says, good pleasure, which he purposed, pay attention to purposed, in himself, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on the earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance. In Christ we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his, here it is again, purpose, who works all things after the counsel of, pay attention, his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge or earnest of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. And there's a lot of stuff in those verses right there. I'm going to talk just a few minutes about a few of them. Did you notice the connections between his will and his purpose? Yes. Every time he said his will, there was the purpose there. His purpose, his will. Paul mentioned those twice in these passages, and then the inheritance that we have obtained and how the Holy Spirit of promise was given as a pledge or earnest of that inheritance. How many of you ever heard of earnest money? It's like, it's not necessarily a down payment, but it's kind of like that. It's a pledge to pay, or it's a, okay, hold this for me, I'm coming back after it, okay? That's what the pledge or the earnest of the Holy Spirit is, the earnest of our inheritance. And we have been eternally sealed in Christ, who is the executor of his own inheritance. The Father doesn't do anything outside of his purpose and his will, which is his word. The Holy Spirit is the custodian of that eternal purpose. He is related to purpose, talking about the Holy Spirit. He is the link with Christ. He is the earnest of the inheritance. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we are joined at once with God's purpose concerning Christ. The purpose that he had for Christ. And what was his purpose? To do the will of the Father, to destroy the works of the evil one. That's what Christ's purpose was. When we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, we are linked to that purpose. Okay? That's important. We are linked with eternity, and we have left time in our spirit. Our spirits, when we receive the Holy Spirit, we're there. We are the eternally saved spirit being that we will be for the rest of our life, if or for all of eternity. Eternity has moved in. We are linked with that. Time is no more. The Spirit is not just, the Holy Spirit does not just come to be with us for a day or an overnight visit or only when you cry out and you can't get that thing to work, you cry out to God, help me, help me, help me, and he helps you. Well, when he's through helping you, he doesn't leave you because he knows you're going to need help some more and more and more and more and more help and more help and more help. So he is with us eternally. He will not leave us. He does not forsake us. The presence of the Holy Spirit within at once links us with the timelessness, and in that timelessness with the eternal purpose of God concerning his Son, and in that purpose with the Son as governing all. It said that he brings it into the administration or into, I forget exactly how the King James says it, but bringing all things in heaven and earth unto Christ so that he is the ruler. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords of all. And we are connected to that by the Holy Spirit. We have been secured by the indwelling Spirit as belonging to Christ, and Christ is secured to us forever. We know the Word of God is truth, and it requires the Spirit of truth to reveal it to us. You know, you can read a passage, you can read a whole book, you can read the whole Bible, and without the revelation of the Holy Spirit, or the revelation by the Holy Spirit, that word really, it's just words. It may be a good story. You may get something. We'll say, wow, that's pretty amazing that happened. Wow, you know. But the revelation and the illumination of the purpose of God in that only comes by the Holy Spirit. What the Spirit reveals is the promises of our inheritance. The inheritance of God the Father gave to Yeshua. Remember in John 16, Yeshua said that all that the Father has is mine. That's a pretty good inheritance if you ask me. You know, because I don't think God's wanting for anything. If he winds up wanting something that's not here, he just speaks it. He calls things that be not as though they are, and sure enough, they are. But he went on to say that the Holy Spirit of truth would show that the inheritance, or he would show the inheritance to us. That means he would let us see the process, those promises that actually belong to Yeshua. But since we are joint heirs with him and in him, if we remain in union or in his purpose or with his will, these promises belong to us as well. Okay? If we're trying to get something outside of him, we don't necessarily have a promise on that. If we're trying to get something outside of God's purpose, good luck with that. You know, you're going to need it because the Holy Spirit can only empower and only produce the purpose of the Father. Okay? We have overcome the world in Him and in His purpose. All things are under our feet in Him and in His purpose. We can do all things through His anointing in Him and in His purpose. As I said a bit ago, the Holy Spirit is the custodian of the purpose of God. The Holy Spirit can't violate the purpose of God. He can't reveal anything that is not the purpose of God, because then it would not be truth. And He is the Spirit of truth. When the Spirit reveals the Word of God to you, you can trust that that revelation is in line with God's will. He can't reveal something to you that is not the will of God. Okay? The Holy Spirit can't misinterpret God's will or purpose. Can't be done, because He is God's Spirit. He's right all the time. Every time the Holy Spirit speaks to you, He's right. He's absolutely right. He's in line with the Father. He's in line with the Father's will. And everything that the Father has purposed in His heart, the Holy Spirit reveals exactly right on time. Now, there may be more that you come back and read that and get something else. It's not that something else is different. It's just a deeper level. But it's still the purposes of God. You can't get out the true meaning and revelation of the Scriptures that the Holy Spirit reveals is always in line with His purpose. Okay, so we have the Word of God, which is Yeshua Himself, and the written Word. And we have the Holy Spirit of truth. And together, they both point to and link or connect us to the eternal purpose of Christ, which is to destroy the works of evil by enforcing the victory already won by Yeshua. And by doing this, we are fulfilling the will of God for the earth. Have you ever wanted to fulfill the will of God? You ever want to know what the will of God is? Yeah. Destroy the works of the devil. Glorify God. Can't miss it. You can't miss it. Give God the glory and give the devil... the other thing. That's how we fulfill the will of God. Without the Word and the Holy Spirit, there is no union with Christ. Without the Word and the Holy Spirit, there is no union with Christ and no answer to any question. Okay? Whatever kind of question you can come up with, without the Holy Spirit and the Word, there's no answer. Or not a good answer. But with the two together, you have the answer to every question. So it doesn't matter what the question is. Jesus is the answer when we are connected with Him. Union with Christ is the answer to all our questions. And He is our avenue. He is our path, our way to peace and to joy and to overcoming in all the little nitpicking things that happen and try to happen in our life to either steal our joy or that tries to kill us. We overcome. When we're in the right path, we're connected to Christ, we're doing His will, His purpose, and we're following the Holy Spirit, then all of our questions are answered. And all of our situations bring glory to God. And we live a joyful and peaceful life. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You, Father, for Your Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us always in truth, triumph, and victory. We set ourselves, Father, to be united, not only in our spirit, but in our thinking, in our thought process. We renew our mind to not try to take on the world with our mind, with our intellect, with our education, but we submit to you and you lead us in triumph. We don't even have to fight. You lead us in triumph over all the tribulations and trials that the world tries to bring in our path, or the things that we come across on a daily basis that would try to steal our joy, that would try to trip us up, that would try to kill and steal and destroy us. We overcome all things through your anointing. We overcome all things through our union with you, Father God, through with you living inside of us, the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We submit to you and know that you will raise us up. You will lift us up. You will always guide us in your paths for your purpose, and you watch over your purpose. You watch and you guard your purpose, and you always fulfill your purpose. So we get to be a part of that. We just celebrate and rejoice in you today, Father God. Thank you. Thank you that you have talked to us, that you have shown us your heart, your purpose, in the things that have been said, the things that have gone on this morning in this assembly. We seal them. I seal them by the Holy Spirit, that they are sealed in our hearts and that we will not be forgetful. We will not be distracted from the truth that we have heard today, from the correction, from the direction that you have placed before us and in us. We submit to that and we say thank you, Father. Thank you for bringing us closer together to one another and to you, Lord. We give glory and honor and praise to you forever. Thank you, Father God. Stand with me, please. May the Lord bless you and guard you. May the Lord make his face shed light upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his face upon you and give you peace. You are blessed. Go with God.